And that's also why you're fighting so much to preserve those lands.
Yeah, and it's a very difficult fight because, you know, not all of our people are traditionalists. A lot of our people, including our leadership, work for industry. And they've worked for industry most of their lives, but they want to get out of it. But, you know, what other options do they have besides going back to the poverty?
Since they start to talk about the pipelines that they want to build on your territories, how are your connection with the corporation? Did you deal with the, like, not necessarily deal, but talk with those corporations?
Well, I've gone and made a lot of attempts to sit down with Enbridge. And, for example, Enbridge is one of the big corporations that wants to put a pipeline through our lands. I've gone to their head office in Calgary to attempt to have a meeting with them. They wouldn't let us into the building. So we stayed outside and we just handed pamphlets out to employees that were coming in and out of their building. We've made public announcements. We've done a lot of press releases. We've done rallies and stuff like that all over Canada to let people know that the Wet'suwet'en will not let Enbridge through our territories. Another pipeline company is called the Pacific Trails Pipeline. I was fortunate back in 2006 to... I worked as a researcher, so I had to put together a traditional use study on the Wet'suwet'en people. And the traditional use study was related to the proposed impact of having a natural gas pipeline called the Pacific Trails Pipeline come through our lands. So I went out and I interviewed a lot of our elders, a lot of our leaders, a lot of our hunters and our trappers and community members. And, you know, everybody, absolutely everybody said no to the pipeline. They did not want to see a pipeline come through our lands. So Pacific Trails decided that, you know, they weren't going to pay any attention to us and they would just go to the band councils. Well, our local band council here said that they don't deal with lands and they hand all of that information and that responsibility to the hereditary chiefs. But there are other bands up the east of us and west of us who have decided to participate with the government and begin working on areas that don't belong to them. So this past Friday, my wife and myself, she belongs to the Unistauten, and they've been fighting a lot of different things in the past. And I belong to the Lhkhsamasu, and we both talked to our leadership, and they gave us a message that they wanted us to bring to the Pacific Trails Pipeline people, because they had a meeting with contractors on Friday, just this past week. And the contractors and the company were all excited about this new pipeline they were going to bring in. And they wanted to try and create business partnerships with First Nations people who belong to elected Indian Act governments, the band councils. So we went to the meeting, and it's about four-hour drive from here. But we went to the meeting and sat in the meeting in a banquet room. There's a lot of people, probably about 100 people there. And they're all excited, talking about the business opportunities they had and how much money they're going to make and, you know, how do you develop a contract that will be acceptable to the government and for the pipeline company and blah, blah, blah. We sat there and listened to them talk, and at the end of the meeting, we stood up and we told them that the business is nowhere near that as close as they think it is right now because they haven't even attempted to talk to the Wet'suwet'en hereditary people. And we made a very strong statement telling them that there will be no pipelines coming through our lands. And it was a very difficult pill for a lot of them to swallow. But the truth had to come out, and we had to explain the truth, our truth to them.
And you also chased them before.
Pardon me?
Like kicked them out of your territory before.
Yeah. November 7th, Pacific Trails Pipeline attempted to come in and do some directional drilling under a river of ours. The river is a spawning channel for salmon species that we depend on here. You know, we're very close to having supper right now, but typically for a supper of ours would consist of having either wild meats or wild salmon or wild trout or wild char from the lakes and the rivers. And, you know, that wild salmon that we eat is something that we really, really depend on. And we can't afford to have industry like logging companies, pipeline companies, or mines to come in and attempt to destroy the habitat that our salmon and trout species depend on. So we went up there on November 7th of this past year and confronted the Pacific Trails Pipeline Company when they had a drilling crew attempting to come in and do some directional drilling under one of our spawning channels. So we met them out there and told them that they had to leave and they had to get all of their equipment out. It took us about a week. We gave them until the Friday to move out, And Friday came. Sure enough, by 12 o'clock on Friday, they had all of the stuff loaded into their trucks, and they were leaving. And we made sure we followed them all the way to town to make sure that they didn't stop somewhere and wait for us or anything like that. We just made sure that they left.
How'd they act since that day?
The media tried to get a hold of them. Like, there was a local radio station or a newspaper that attempted to contact the company. The company basically just said that they were finished all of their work anyways, and we did not interfere with any of the work. So they lied. They tried to downplay the confrontation to the media. Hmm. And they've ignored us. They haven't talked with us. They're sending letters through the BC Environmental Assessment Office to ask us if we have any issues for the little tiny changes that they're going to be making to the pipeline. And we've told them in the past that there will be no pipelines. We don't approve of them. Yet they are attempting to push their agenda through.
How do you feel about the assessment process?
The assessment process is a joke. I said it earlier in this interview. The assessment process is really dependent on how much money that they can get from industry. The assessment process comes from government, who makes millions and billions and billions and billions of dollars off of taxes that they get from industry. So they have no intention of ever listening to Aboriginal people. Yet they're collecting these taxes, they're collecting these license fees, they're collecting these permit fees on lands that don't belong to them.
How are your relations with the other nations fighting the pipelines?
Our relations are pretty good. We've developed an alliance of First Nations people throughout the United States along the Keystone Pipeline, the pipeline that is proposed to come through here, as well as the Kinder Morgan Pipeline down into Vancouver, Burrard Inlet. We have an alliance of people from all over the place that are very determined to make sure that we all put a stop to this nonsense.
And you also had assembly with other nations against pipelines and mines?
Yeah, we've joined assemblies, but we've also hosted assemblies in the past. We had a rally. One of the first rallies that we had here was in 2008. We went to a community called Terrace, and we marched through the city of Terrace with banners and stuff telling the Enbridge Pipeline Company that there will be no pipelines coming through here. They used to have an office in Terrace, and they ended up closing it after that. But they continued to try and continue with business. They moved their office a bit farther away, and they had it a lot more guarded. And they continued to force their agenda and say that we're going to try and get this pipeline through. And our people kept fighting it. We're going to keep fighting it. There will be no pipelines coming through our lands.
And you also set up a camp, like the Unistuten set up a camp.
Yeah, the Unistuten set up a cabin and a camp out on the Maurice River. It's 66.5 kilometer. It's called the Maurice West, but it's on the Maurice River. There's only one bridge crossing just as the water leaves the Maurice Lake. But about 8 kilometers, 9 kilometers down from Maurice Lake, there's a bridge crossing, 1.5 kilometer. Well, that place is, there's a camp there now. We had 2 action camps. It's we're having annual action camps there, but we also have cultural camps and family camps. So we're spending a lot of time out there, and we're teaching a lot of the young children about the land. They're teaching them about their culture, how to preserve foods, how to collect different types of berries. It's a wonderful experience, and people from all over the world come out to attend it.
So it's like a way to already fighting against the pipelines and also preserve and fight for what you're fighting for.
Exactly, yeah. And the cabin is actually built right on the exact spot where the pipelines want to cross over the river.
And also see if people want to see image and listen to that, they can also watch All Getaway, who is a part of Stop the Flows, the new project of Franklin Lopez.
Yeah, yes.
It's very good to know more and to hear more about your struggles.
Yeah, Franklin's a really good friend of ours. He came out to our last action camp and filmed a lot of stuff out there.
And how we can act as people living far away from your nations or as non-native people or settlers?
Help people become more aware of the issues. Teach people about the Aboriginal people. Teach them about not just accepting what the government tries to explain about Aboriginal people and relations, but begin to dig a lot more and find out what the local people are really going through. like, for example, the government, if the settler population there was interested in learning about the Wet'suwet'en, they'd probably learn about the office of the Wet'suwet'en, which is the Society's Act office. And that's what I was talking about earlier. This is the Society's chiefs, right? And then there is also the band council. So the government might explain, okay, well, there's bands in this area, and this is what the bands are, and this is their population, this is their leadership. But really, that's not what our people want. You know, that's just what was forced on us.
Yeah, and continue to be forced on
you. Educate yourselves and educate other people.
And if people want to know more about these struggles, do you have, like, references that you can give to us?
Well, if you go to, we have a website that we just started. It's on a WordPress website, and it's called Unistauten Camp.
And how is right now, like, the how do you perceive the way the struggle is going on right now?
We have no intention of ever stopping. Huh? We'll protect our lands right to our last breath. And we have the new generation of children growing up that are understanding the same concept. You know, it doesn't take a little five-year-old long to figure out what's really going on. They'll start asking questions, and then they'll ask, why are people doing that to us? Why are you doing this? You know, it doesn't take a young child to figure that out. It doesn't matter what nationality you come from. It doesn't matter what race you come from. A young child will figure out the truth, and they'll start asking questions about it, and that's what we're doing.
And also, you have, like, you still have a deep relation with your lands and also your traditional forms of living, because, like, on some communities here, by example, is much more difficult. I don't know if you heard about the Plan Nord.
No,
it's like a huge project. You're 71% of this so-called Quebec geography.
Okay.
With for industrial development and stuff like that.
Okay.
So they will, like, continue to scratch the lands of the people and the communities also?
And that's the same struggle. I'm familiar with a lot of the First Nations people there and the struggles. Like, I was a part of a group called the Defenders of the Land, and there's a network of Aboriginal people from all across Canada that meet on an annual basis to talk about our struggles and to share our struggles and to figure out how we can begin to work together to have a more effective fight against government and industry. So it's a very, very similar fight that our people are having. When we start sharing stories about some of the struggles that we're having, it's the exact same story all across the board.
Do you want to add something?
I'm hopeful, and I'm really, really praying that a majority of the Canadian population of settlers will come and join us in our fight. Because the rate of the tar sands expansion, the rate of the natural gas pollution that's being created in the aquifers in northeastern BC, and the rate of industry exploration all over Indigenous lands is going far out of control, and we may be running out of time. You know, I'm fully aware of what climate change is going on. I've been tracking it for a very long time. I used to teach environmental monitoring for colleges, and I'm very aware of the statistics on what is happening out on our great Mother Earth. And it's very scary to see that civilization, as we call it, is running headlong into our own self-destruction. And there's still a chance for us to make changes, but we need the settler population to understand that they need to join us in those changes. They need to join us in these struggles, because corporations and government will not stop. They will not stop unless the people stop them.
I also have to say that you are a big inspiration for us.
Thank you.
Like, the strength of your struggles is so intense. It's so difficult sometimes to struggle against all those structures, like colonization, capitalism, like all the forms of oppression.
Mm-hmm.
That to see all those people who are, like, fighting and, like, have this so big strength and will to fight is, like, so awesome and a big inspiration for so many people.
Well, I hope it inspires a lot of people, not just Aboriginal people, but settler people as well, to stand up and join the fight. Because if we sit back and wait for somebody else to make the changes that we're hoping for, those changes will never come. Once we decide that we're going to stand up and rise and be above all of those things and begin forcing the changes on our own agenda, then we start seeing changes. But if we sit back and wait for somebody to do it, it's not going to happen. We need to stand up and do that ourselves, each and every one of us.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Christian.